Hello and welcome to Wednesday on the Think Big Show, where entrepreneurs and business owners come from around the world to think bigger, work smarter, and grow successful businesses faster through online strategies, leadership, and mindset. I'm Mia DeBolt, founder of the Think Big Network, and I'm joined here with my husband, my pilot, mission accomplishment strategist, JT DeBolt. JT, welcome to Wednesday.
Great to be with you, babes. Thanks so much for having us out here. And to all of our friends out there in the Think Big Network, I say good morning. Good afternoon and good evening, whatever time it is for you, no matter where you might be tuning in from on the Big Blue Marble. Thank you for joining us here each and every single Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. And you know, every now and then you just have to get yourself in over your head, you know, because it's important to test yourself and to really stretch the old comfort zone, that comfort zone that we seem to just fall in love with, that comfort zone that sometimes, even though we don't want it, it just wraps itself around us like a comfy little blanket, lulls us to sleep, even if we have our hands on the wheel and we're driving down the freeway at full speed. The freeway of life, of course. We get a little bit dozy and just sort of allow good enough to be the definition of our lives. I found this happening to me many times where all of a sudden things get a little bit complacent, and I kind of shake myself awake and say, all right, it's time for a challenge. It's time to do something big. It's time to go after it. Recently, I found myself biting off a little bit more than I can chew, and I'll just say it was very interesting. About a week ago, I put this challenge upon myself. We were coming up at the end of the month, and we had that physical challenge. You remember the one I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
So the physical challenge was we had to do 2017 of each of the following: push-ups, 2017 sit-ups, 2017 air squats, 2017 chair dips, and everybody's favorite, 2017 burpees. Now, here's the key. Here's the killer. I had been traveling a lot for business and got to a point where I had 500 of each. And the day before, when I, you know, hit that 600 or gotten to, I was at 600 and I did 100 of each, and I had 500 left to go. I was taking a shower, and in the shower it hit me. I wonder how many burpees I could do. Because I had done as many burpees as you can do in 10 minutes. So I knew that I was, you know, 142, I think, was my top. But this time I was like, man, first of all, could I do a full hour of burpees? Could I do it? It's a long time to sustain that. Burpees are, by the way, if you don't know what a burpee is, go look it up. It's an intense workout, to say the least. But I thought, even if I could do a full hour, how many might I do? So I looked at it and I thought, okay, well, if I can do 142 in 10 minutes, there's no way I'm doing six times that. Because I know that it's one of those things that you wear down after a while. So I set a target and I went after it. And I have to say that when I got to 45 minutes, I definitely knew I had bitten off more than I could chew. That was where I really felt like I was going to die. The first 20 minutes were hard. You get to 30 minutes, you're really grinding it out. You get to 40 and you're like, oh my God. But that last 5 minutes, that's 40. When you get to 45 minutes, that's where you really feel it. And you did this too.
Yeah. You actually inspired me to do it because you came off of it. You did it. And it's kind of like the 4 minute mile. I
right.
saw that you could do it. So I was like, oh, let me try it.
But what's interesting is you actually hit my mark way earlier than I did. So that was kind of cool. The mark I was going for was 500. I was looking for 500. And I got to 500 with like a minute and a half left to spare. So I used that last minute to grind out, push out 13 more for a total of 513. Now, the number is irrelevant. The point is that it was a way to push myself. And so I surpassed the limit that I was looking for and definitely found out that I was capable of far more, that I could push myself beyond my preconceived notion. And trust me, it was way outside my comfort zone. But the point is this, is while that might sound trite, you may say to yourself, well, who cares how many burpees? Does that change the world? The answer is no, it doesn't. But it definitely moves the needle for me. Changed the way I think about myself, the way I perceive how what I'm capable of, my pain threshold, my mental toughness threshold. And it got me thinking, we should all be pushing our comfort zone. We should all be biting off more than we can chew. So why should any of us, what's the purpose for doing this? What should any of us want to do this for? What would be the point of this? Well, I want to give you, we're going to talk to you about five perhaps drivers that would say to you, this is what I'm going to do. And this is the reason for it. Number one is it absolutely shows you what you're capable of. I think too often we underestimate ourselves, put ourselves under tough deadlines, maybe slightly more than we think we can handle, and we really get to see what we're capable of. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like too often, maybe we don't hit our mark. Maybe we go and we try to be overzealous or overmotivated for something that we're really excited about and maybe miss the mark. And then we kind of get really careful. Mm-hmm. We get really careful with life and we get careful with, you know, how we do things, and we underestimate ourselves.
You know, I've never been a fan of goal setting. I've often said goal setting sucks, and I think SMART goals are completely ridiculous. I think they're stupid. Because mostly they're used as they're professed as a tool, as a strategy, which they are not. It's just a good way to get clear on a definition of what the goal is. So if you're going to get clear on what it is, I actually recommend you make what's called a SMART, or I should say an S-SMART goal. This was actually taught to me by a pretty amazing guy by the name of Blair Dunkley. And what he calls it, he uses S-SMART, where you use an extra S in there. And the first S is for simple. So if you can look at something and break it down into the simplest form and say, okay, this is what we're going to achieve. The next thing you go to S, the next S, of course, is specific, of course, right? So specific, which means we have to have that specificity. We have to know exactly what it is we want to achieve. And then, of course, the M is measurable. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. When you hear the word SMART goal, what does the A typically stand for?
Achievable.
And right there, we set ourselves up for mediocrity, because we think to ourselves, well, is it achievable? And we start basing it off our past performance. So we're living in the past. We're not thinking about what we're going to push ourselves to do. We're not thinking about biting off more than we can chew. We think about what's achievable. What I like to think of is the A should be actionable. What is it I can take action on? What might I do right now that's going to push me to perform a little bit higher, to work a little bit harder, to stay in the game a little bit longer? What kind of action can I take and just keep it going? With that 500 goal burpee, it was pretty simple. It was straightforward. Let's do this. I broke it down into sets of 25 and just went to work. It was very specific, obviously. It was obviously very measurable, but it was actionable. I didn't ask myself, is this achievable? Because frankly, when I heard the word 500, I thought I might be a little bit crazy on this. But I thought, it's definitely actionable. I know for sure that I can at least move and I can get 142 of these in 10 minutes at my max. So if I just keep a steady pace, and if all I got was 100 per minute or 100 every 10 minutes, then I'd be in the window. I would get 500 in an hour and you just go to work. Now, when you hear the R, what is the R typically?
Reachable.
Yeah, that's a good one. So reachable, or some people say realistic. And I get that, you know, reachable in their mind and realistic are kind of synonymous. But the word I like to think of is reasonable. Is it reasonable? Because if I had said 5,000, that's definitely, you know, that's realistic for some people. It's reachable for some people. But for me, it wouldn't be reasonable based on my capabilities, based on my level of fitness. And so for me to say 500 or even to say 700 would have been more reasonable than to say 1,000. And come to find out, 500 was more than reasonable. I made it. So reasonable is another way of looking at something, by asking yourself a more critical question. It's not about beating yourself up and saying, well, oh, I can only do this much, so I'm just going to set my goals here. Or, oh, I'm just going to be crazy about this and, you know, shoot for the stars and hope for the moon. When we're talking about reasonable stuff, we're actually using data points. We're thinking about what might I be able to achieve based on what I know. And so that's where you get reasonable. And of course, T is timely. So when you're thinking about, you know, challenging yourself to see what you're really capable of, you can get specific. You can keep it simple. You can go through the whole S-SMART, you know, sort of dialogue that we were just talking about here. The whole point to it is to push yourself. And the reason we do this is to really show ourselves what we're capable of. Now, the second purpose behind this, the second reason why we might do this, is that it demonstrates the importance of really imagination, creativity, and resourcefulness. This is the part that I'm really excited about. So the way I like to think of it is it builds that sort of outside the box thinking muscle, or think outside the box muscle. And you really find out just how valuable you can be. In fact, it tells you kind of how valuable your network can be, because you can start reaching out and asking for help in these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, if you think about demonstrating your imagination. It shows you kind of how you can do more with less than what you think you have. And the whole point of biting off more than you can chew is it causes you to have to think outside the box, think creatively, and ask yourself, what might I do more of? What might I do differently? And in fact, what might I achieve simply by tapping into my resources? Now, the third part about this is when you bite off more than you can chew, you start to find out what you're capable of, it absolutely builds confidence. So, you know, when you're in sort of one of those sink or swim scenarios, you have zero chance, but you have to rely on yourself. The cavalry's not coming to save you. And so all of a sudden you have to start thinking in terms of, what am I capable of?
Yeah, actually, this reminds me of a kind of kid's story. It's a movie, Meet the Robinsons, where this little boy, Lewis, goes into the future and meets his future family. And he's an inventor. He creates this beautiful world because of one time machine or one little invention that he created when he was a little boy. And so there's a lot of story to it, but basically his family has this theory of keep moving forward. So the basis of the story is this little boy, Lewis, is about to lose his entire future because he's lost his confidence. He's mm-hmm. lost his ability to think outside the box, his confidence in his inventions, his basically his vision for his life. And so by losing that, he finds his family, and his family helps him to see the way forward, by keep moving forward, by failing forward. It was such a powerful story because doesn't everybody want to fail forward, like to fail through things instead of stopping and allowing failure to be your stopgap? You fail through it. You learn from it.
I love that. That's actually a really great analogy because, you know, I do remember that scene in that movie, having seen it so many times with the kids, that it's true. If you do not bite off more than you can chew, then you sort of just live at your baseline level. And if that's the best you can do, it doesn't really do much to stretch your confidence. All it does is keep you comfortable. And so your confidence is not built by doing the comfortable things. Your confidence is built by doing the things that make you uncomfortable. You fall down, you learn, you succeed the next time or the next time after that, and you keep moving forward. So, you know, awesome analogy. And by the way, when you clear that situation, then you realize that you have a whole new level of ability, a whole new level of competence, a whole new level of the skill set that you didn't realize you had before. And that's where the confidence really comes from. Next, when we bite off more than we could chew, it really shows us what our priorities are. I mean, all of a sudden, we gain crystal clarity in this area. I like to think of Maslow's law of hierarchy. Once you get yourself in a position where you're really pushing, you realize, you know, like sometimes all of a sudden you realize, hey, am I just fighting for survival? Am I just showing up every single day? Or am I really going for meaning? And when you bite off more than you can chew, you suddenly get to realize, man, I have to be very crystal clear in how I take care of my time, how I take care of my body, how I take care of my thoughts, how I take care of my resources, because now suddenly you're juggling an extra ball or two, and now all of a sudden you really have to be on your game.
Yeah, it's really easy to do this in business and life. Basically, take one or two too many tasks or too many projects, and to get overwhelmed and to get over your head. And really, like, everybody has their different thresholds, and it's up to you to figure out where's your threshold and then to dial it back by setting your priorities.
Absolutely. And finally, there's something very interesting about the concept of conformity. Especially with entrepreneurs like to think of themselves as these big rebels in life, and they'll never conform, and they don't want to have a boss, and they don't want to do what everybody else does. They don't want to work the 9-to-5. They don't want to be in the cubicle farm or driving in the square box down the freeway stuck in traffic. They don't think about that until they get into a comfort zone. All of a sudden they realize comfort zones are the ultimate conformity, right? You get to see just how conformist being in a comfort zone is. And you also get to see just how relieving being uncomfortable can be. It's one of those things where all of a sudden it becomes, I don't want to necessarily put the wrong word on here. It's not about being comfortable being uncomfortable, but you get a sense of, wow, this is what true freedom feels like. This is what it feels like to be alive. This is what it feels like to be dialed in, because now suddenly all your senses are alive. You've bitten off more than you could chew. You are fully vested in this thing. All of a sudden, you've got a lot on the line. You may have your back totally against the wall as a direct result of going bigger, doing more than you thought you could, stretching yourself further in your business, stretching yourself further in life. And all of a sudden, you get a sense that this discomfort actually feels pretty amazing.
Yeah, isn't that what human experience is? Is it about growing, about expanding, about evolving? And we feel that the most when we're actually pushing our comfort zone, pushing outside of it, and to stretch ourselves.
Absolutely. The quote that I read a long time ago, and I don't remember who said it or where I saw it from, but I just remember thinking, this to me is one of the great, it just illustrates the life of being an entrepreneur, and that is, I'd rather bite off more than I can chew and choke on excellence than nibble on mediocrity. And that's so awesome. I'd rather choke on excellence than nibble on mediocrity, which means a lot of times people want to play it safe. They want to tip their toe in the water. They want to get more information. They want more time to think about it. They need all this stuff. They need to ask 1,000 questions before they take action. And, you know, they're going to constantly be behind the eight ball. They're going to be stuck behind everybody else who's an action taker, who knows what they want, who's dialed into their values, their vision, their mission, their purpose, and is willing to take a risk. Maybe make a few sacrifices, maybe lose.
Yeah, willing to play to win as opposed to play to lose.
That's right.
Not to lose.
Exactly. Just like we talked about. And the whole thing is if you get to a point where if you need to be right, or if you need to be certain, or if you absolutely don't ever want to be wrong or make mistakes, then entrepreneurship is definitely not for you. Go get a job. Stay with your job is for sure. But when you get to that place where you're ready to bite off more than you can chew and say to yourself, I'd rather choke on excellence than nibble on mediocrity. I would rather show myself what I'm capable of. I would rather demonstrate to myself, my imagination, my creativity, my resourcefulness. I'd rather build confidence rather than be right. I'd rather illuminate my priorities rather than stay stuck. I'd rather, select that feeling of being alive and being uncomfortable rather than the slow death of comfort and conformity. That's a magic place to be. And that's where the true, I don't want to say heroes, because I think that can be overblown and it's a little bit hyperbolic, but that's to me where the true champions live, where they play that game, as you said, playing the game to win as opposed to just playing not to lose.
All right, this call is a wrap. Go and share your greatness with the world now, my friends, because now is all you have. Also, go and get our free 10-day bootcamp at thethinkbignetwork.com, where you can learn how to get more leads and sales to your business.
And remember, no matter what course you fly in life, fly high, fly fast, and fly far. We'll talk to you tomorrow.